The Bible reading today comes from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing.
Thank you for that. And Shane, that was an awesome, awesome song. I'm going to do things just a little bit different this morning in terms of how I use the PowerPoint. I don't know if any of you have ever struggled with depression. It's something that I do occasionally. And I've discovered that if you're dealing with that, you've just got to have routines that you carry on irrespective. And one of my routines is I get up in the morning and I go for a walk, normally about 5-7 Ks in the morning. I listen to my Bible. I normally listen to a sermon of some kind, and then towards the end of that I just have some silence where I just try to listen and hear the birds singing and just have time in silence. And I was doing that on Friday morning, and as I was walking along and as I was thinking, very seldomly would say that I hear from God in a sense that I have a really strong impression that God wants us to do something. That doesn't happen very often for me. And I'm going to suggest something to you, and it's up to you to test whether that is of God and for us. I really felt like we need to get into our physical Bibles more, that we need to build the habit of bringing our Bibles. Our phone is not so bad, but there's just something about getting into the scriptures themselves. One, people see us carry the Bible into church, but also you can write notes and make suggestions, write things in your Bible a bit easier than you often can in a phone. So for the next little while, I'm going to be using that a lot less and trying to encourage us to get into a physical Bible a bit more. Now, using your phone is perfectly okay, whatever works for you, but I just want us to rely on reading stuff up on there less and looking more at what the scriptures actually say. So I'm going to be doing it slightly different in the sense that I'm going to be straight into the Bible rather than chucking stuff on the screen and having lovely pictures and all that kind of stuff for us. So that's the first thing. The second thing I want to say is I think God would like us to have a stack of Bibles up the back with Bible reading plans and bits and pieces in it. And if you feel called to buy the church some Bibles, particularly New Testament Bibles, and be prepared to organise some Bible reading plans so any visitor or anybody who comes to church who doesn't have a Bible can actually have a Bible and pick it up and take it home. And I encourage people to kind of have a Bible that you can write and read, write stuff into. So if you feel like that's something, maybe a little ministry that you'd like to have, please let me know that you'd like to do that. So let me get into talking about spiritual gifts. But as I was listening on Friday, I was listening from the beginning of Romans. And as I was listening to Romans, I came across a verse that I had never noticed before. Chapter 1, verse 11. And it says this, Paul saying, I long to see you, so that I might impart to you some spiritual gift. I'd never noticed that before, that Paul comes along and says, I want to give you something. Now, it's broader than spiritual gifts in the sense of what we're talking about. It's a spiritual gift in the broader sense. But Paul thought it was really important that he came and gave spiritual gifts to people. And he said, for a reason, to make you strong. that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other. And then a little bit later on, he says, in order that we might have a harvest among you. The spiritual gifts are given to us to build us up, to make us strong, so that we are mutually encouraged, so that we can have the harvest of people coming to Jesus. It's not just about patting each other's backs. It's not just about making us feel good. It's about the world is out there and they don't have the hope of Jesus. And we are the ones that have that hope, and so we need to be built up so that we have the courage and the skill and the wisdom to share the faith that we have. And I always say it this way, I only want you to invite people into something that you already have. So if you don't have something that is encouraging and building and intimate with God, deal with that first before you invite anybody in, because the last thing we want to do is invite people into a sad, miserable bunch of people. We want to be people who maybe struggle with life, but in amongst that struggle, we have the hope of Jesus in our lives. So these gifts are given to us that we might build one another up. So let me just get into the scripture that was read a little bit more, and I'm going to begin with 1 Corinthians 12:27. And I'm going to give you, I'm going to go back because my notes are a little bit different. Here we go. Yeah. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:7. I'm going to begin there. Says this in verse 7. Now to each one of you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So it's for us together, just not alone. So there's a purpose for which God has given us gifts, to build us up, to equip us, to give us wisdom so that we are able to build us up commonly and to reach out to the kingdom. The second thing I want to look at is the fact that the gifts are personal to us. In verse 7, it also carries on to say, to one there is given through the Spirit of wisdom, and then it lists whatever. So God has a purpose, but the purpose isn't to us as a group. It is he comes to you as an individual and gives you a special gift that you can have a special service within the work of the church. So God doesn't treat us like everybody. He treats us as particular individuals, have particular skills and talents, and he comes along and he says, to you, I give this gift. And so it's really important that each one of us know the gifts that God has given us too. Now, I did say last week, we actually have access to all the gifts, but that each one of us has particular gifts we ought to have. This morning, Joe and I were just joking around, you know, and I was saying he should preach the sermon and I should play the music. Now, that wouldn't last very long, okay? My musical ability, I think your preaching skill is far higher than my musical skill. But God has given each one of us a special gift that we can do different things in the kingdom. So we've got a purpose, we've got a personal gift, and then I think what we don't realise is just how powerful that gift is. God doesn't just give us something that doesn't make a difference. He gives us something that can change the world in a really revolutionary way. Now, when I look at the scripture in verse 27, there's a bit where it says, and I'm going to tease this out a bit, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. Think about that for a little bit. The body of Christ is not just about the group here that meet. It's about the eternal body of Christ, the eternal one. We are part of the body of Christ, something that is universal, something that is eternal, and something that is significant. Let me just flick over to John chapter 14, verse 20, and this is what it says. And the more I think about this, the more powerful this is. On that day, you will realise that, this is Jesus talking, that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So there's some strange thing that the eternal creator of the universe has invited us to come into him, and he comes into us in some amazing, incredible way. That you are no longer just operating in your own power and in your own strength. That God dwells in you and you dwell in him. Now, I don't want to work out all that means because that's too hard for my brain to work out. What it does mean is this. There is nowhere you can go that God is not already there. We don't have to pray and say, God, come and dwell with us, because God is already here. You go to work and you go to share Christ with somebody. You don't need to run into a back room and say, oh, Jesus, will you come along with me? No, because God is already in that relationship. If you go to the pub and have a beer down there and just doing that, God is in the pub with you. Wherever you go, God is in you and you are in him, and the fullness of the power of God is with you. I don't think any one of us has really grasped the significance of that power. We kind of go, if only Jesus was here today. Jesus is here today with us and through us. And Jesus said, we will do greater things than he did. Now, I have only seen little glimpses of that in my life. But I think that's partly because we don't fully understand what it means for the power of God to come and dwell in us and for us to dwell in his spirit. I think that's something we need to spend more time thinking about. And the spiritual gift is part of how God does that. He gives us something of himself to reveal himself to the world in which we live. So we've got a purpose, we've got personal gifts, and we've got the incredible power of God at work in us and working through us. And then the verse carries on, and this is really cool. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Now, it's exposed a little bit more in Ephesians. If you go into Ephesians 4:11-13, it says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. God gives us resources to prepare us for the work that he's given for us. He doesn't just say, here's a gift, go out by yourself. He says, here's a gift, and these are the gifts to the church to prepare us to be able to use those. Now, it's really important that apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, you don't see that as a title. It's not a title in the Bible, it's a function. Somebody functions as an apostle, they function as a prophet, they function as a pastor or a teacher. It's not like I have a title, big P, I'm the pastor of the church, although we use that term. What it really means is I'm the pastor when I pastor. I'm a teacher when I teach. I'm an apostle when I get sent out. I'm not apostle. Apostle means sent out. And I'm a prophet when I proclaim the word of God. That's what those functions are about. And God has given those functions, and often it's a particular man or woman who has a particular gift in to help us, that we be equipped for the work of the service to bring the harvest into the kingdom. So we know they are working when the harvest is being brought in. If the harvest is not being brought in, the pastor, prophet, teacher, evangelist is not equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And you ought to, in the AGMs, give us leaders a good kick up the bum if we are not equipping you for us to work together to bring the harvest in. Because Jesus says the harvest is ready. It's waiting for us. God is out there, called in a word called prevenient grace. God is out there at work, and he's already doing the stuff, and he's waiting for us to partner with him using our gifts to do the service. Now, I really loved it. I saw your notice, Robin, in the newsletter this week about, you know, inviting people to knit and natter and invite people in and all that. That's exactly what I'm talking about, taking the particular passion that you have and using it to invite people into a relationship with other Christians or into a place where they learn about Jesus. Taking your passion and your gifting to make a difference in the world is what it's about. It's not about feeling guilty. It's about recognising the incredible power of God already in you, wanting to work through you into the world in which we live. And also notice that if you flick over, I know I'm flicking between verses a lot today, but I'm just going into 2 Timothy 1:6. Says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift." The gift doesn't come fully developed. You get given a gift, it gets equipped, it grows, you use it, you develop. You don't want to hear my preaching when I was a 12-year-old first doing public speaking. Completely different. Hopefully I've improved since then. But, you know, we get given a gift, we step out in faith, we get equipped, we start to use it, we get some feedback, we realise we did some things wrong and some things right, we get feedback from others, and then we flam it, fan it into flame, and we progressively get better in our gifting. So don't think that just because you're not very effective in the gift now doesn't mean you can't be effective in the gift in the future. Maybe you just need to fan it into flame and start to put it out there. And I would say this, fanning it into flame and having the courage to put out there is one of the most frightening things you'll ever do in your life. Don't think it'll come easy. Because God gives us gifts that are frightening for us to use in many cases. You know, imagine Peter getting out of the boat, walking on the water. That was a frightening thing for Peter to do. Because God needed to put him in a place where he says, you know what, don't rely upon your talent. Don't rely upon all the things that you can do. I need you to do the work and the harvest, rely upon the gifts that I have given you, and therefore you need to step out on the water in frightening circumstances so that you know it wasn't your work that brought people to Jesus. See, we don't bring people to Jesus. We get used by God to do that, but we don't do it. We are partnered with God in those frightening circumstances often of life to share the faith. And so our gifts grow and they develop. And then just to finish with, carries on into chapter 13, and we need to be reminded of this. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, if I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You know, whatever our gift is, if it's not done in love, it's a complete waste of time. One of the things I've often done is I've developed people into the preaching ability. In Bondi Junction, we had about 12 people who preached. Now, you've got to have patience and kindness. You've got to have all of those love factors because you can be really critical and hard on people and think, well, I'm doing it out of my gifting. But you know what? Whatever I do as a gift, it needs to be done with mercy and kindness and patience. I think God would rather we get the love bit right than the gift bit right. If we're going to make a mistake on the side of the love, not on the side of the gift. Now, does that mean that you can't be kind of tough on people? No, it means you can be strong with people. You know, if I'm teaching somebody to speak and they don't do a good job, or I say you've got 5 minutes and they go 8 minutes, you know, I can be tough about that, but I can be tough with kindness. You know, if you're teaching somebody how to share faith with somebody and they keep on making it about them and not about God, maybe you're tough with your feedback, but you can still do that with love and kindness and peace and patience. So I want to end with this. First thing is, before we deal with any gifts, we need to know that we know Jesus. So the first decision is always, am I in a place where I love Jesus in such a way as I want other people to have that relationship? Or am I inviting them into something that I have no experience of? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus that you want to invite people into, that's the first thing to deal with, your relationship with Jesus and your intimacy with God. Second thing to deal with is if you know God but don't know your gift, go discover your gift. We've got on the website, you know, the church website, where you can go and do a gifts discovery thing, a gift survey. Go and find out your gifts. If you don't want to do that one, do a Google search, find spiritual gift, and you'll find lots of them online, okay? But discover the things that God actually has for you. If you know your gift, you need to start to develop it. That is your responsibility, but it's us as leaders to get beside you to help you develop your gift. And so one of the things we've got on the website is where you can let us know the tasks that you're willing to do. That will help us know how can we help you develop your gift by practicing certain things. You might say you've got a gift for Sunday school. You know, we'll put you on the roster and sit with you and help you work out how to look after kids, all those kinds of, however you want to use your gifts. And lastly, you've just got to deploy them. You've got to put them out there. You've got to use them. Okay? So are you at the point where you need to know Jesus? Well, we're going to have a moment to pray about that now. Or do you need to discover or develop or deploy your gifts in God? As we do that, the harvest is ready. And God, people will come in because we have something immensely attractive. We are the hope of the world. Sometimes we forget that, but we are the hope of the world because we know God, we know the God who's made us and who we will live with forever. So let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for this group of people. I thank you for the people that you've put here, for the calling that you have for them, for all of us. We pray that we would know you deeply. So Lord, for those who feel as though they don't have that intimate relationship with you, I pray for them right now, that they might come into a deep love for you. And for those of us who need to discover or develop or deploy our gifts, Lord, give us wisdom about how to do that and give us courage to reach out. And together, that we would become the mature body of Christ that is able to convey the love of Jesus into our community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.